40 million people in Mexico do not have access to the internet. Our company, Altan Redes, is building a network that will connect them to the world. Chubb wrote insurance policies that gave the Mexican government, our investors, and partners the confidence they needed to make this happen. They also cover our construction risk, damage to the network, and environmental exposure. For a project this complex, Chubb was the one.
Learn more at chubb.com/WSJ.
This is Tech News Briefing from the Wall Street Journal.
Hello, I'm Tanya Bustos, reporting from the newsroom in New York. Coming up, tech headlines you need to know about. But first, wrapping up a big week for tech in Washington. Now that the dust has settled, let's recap. Congressional investigations looking into Russian interference in the 2016 election have ensnared three tech titans, Facebook, Google, and Twitter, answering the intelligence community's concerns that Moscow used the tech platforms to disrupt last year's presidential election. All three companies appeared in a public Senate Judiciary Committee hearing and in front of other congressional committees this week. Many believe the most recent disclosures are only the tip of the iceberg. The Wall Street Journal's Georgia Wells has been on top of it all and joins us now with the key takeaways. So now that everyone can step back and breathe, let's break down what we've learned, or at least confirmed here. Let's start with the specific how. How did we ultimately conclude how the Russian actors were able to use social media before and after the election?
Facebook, Twitter, and Google have said that Russian actors use their sites to run posts on really divisive topics, such as like gun rights and racial issues, with the intent of trying to sow political and social division in the U.S. And they've found some evidence of this starting on their platforms back in 2015. What's interesting is a lot of these hot button topics often weren't so much geared at promoting a specific, you know, Kremlin point of view, but rather at putting a microphone or putting a speaker to the tensions that already exist in American society. And so one example is one of the Russian pages on Facebook was they were targeting it towards the wives of police officers and towards sheriffs. And it was about kind of the risks in law enforcement. And then at the same time, they had another page that was targeted at people who were interested in African-American culture and the history of civil rights in the U.S., and that page would often post like videos of police brutality. And so from these examples, you could see how they were working on fanning the flames of tensions that already exist here.
Right. And what's interesting is because, you know, we'd been hearing about this for months, and yet, you know, we're learning that there's probably a lot more to it. Why do lawmakers think there was more Russian influence than what was already known?
Part of it we could likely attribute to just the way the tech companies have managed expectations, because, you know, at first, Mark Zuckerberg said following the election that, like, no, there was no misinformation on Facebook did not influence things. And then since then, these tech companies keep on releasing more and more information about how this misinformation campaign occurred. And it's likely because maybe, like, that could be tied to the timeline as they're finding it. But so, for example, Twitter a couple weeks ago kind of disclosed that it had found 201 accounts linked to Russian actors that Facebook had already identified. And then weeks later, Twitter releases the results of another sweep where it found 10 times that initial number of accounts. And Facebook has also even cautioned that it may not have uncovered all the malicious activity that attempted to interfere in the American political process. And so when Twitter, Facebook, and Google were all testifying, they and some of the lawmakers also said, you know, this could be the tip of the iceberg.
Exactly. There's so much more to this as we're finding out. So question on a lot of people's minds are, how does this impact me? Did this impact me? So how does someone know whether or not they saw Russian content?
So Facebook, Twitter, and Google have not created a tool where you can just log on and say, like, was any of this content served to me, yes or no? However, in the hearing with the intelligence committees, Facebook did release a batch of ads that had been served to its users, to the lawmakers. And they've started to release the ads that Facebook gave them. And so now, if, like, we have a slideshow graphic that's now up on WSJ.com. You can also go to the committee websites directly and see examples of the ads. And, you know, admittedly, it's hard to remember, you know, is it possible in the past 2 years, did I see this ad or not? But I think for some people, it might kind of jog their memory of the type of content on their feed and whether or not they could imagine there being links or maybe not.
So to reiterate, this was a huge week for tech with regards to the big Russian controversy and the congressional investigations, and it's just the tip of the iceberg. So having said that, what other ways did Russia allegedly interfere in the election? What were we able to learn?
According to a January report from the U.S. intelligence community, the highest levels of Russian government were involved in directing the electoral interference to help Donald Trump at the expense of his Democratic rival, Hillary Clinton. And so Russia's tactics included efforts to hack state election systems, like infiltrating and leaking information from party committees and political strategists, and disseminating through social media and other outlets negative stories about Hillary Clinton and positive ones about Donald Trump. And so that's where you can start to see that what we observed on Facebook and Twitter and YouTube, you know, was likely one piece of the puzzle here.
And I'm guessing there are many more pieces, but that's the latest. Thanks a lot for breaking it down, Georgia.
Thank you, Danya.
Here are the tech headlines you need to know about. The talk of the tech earnings town was, of course, Apple at closing bell on Thursday. The company posted a 19% profit rise, extending its year-long rebound in the latest quarter thanks to rising iPhone demand and sales gains in China. The tech giant projected record revenue in the current period, driven by sales of the iPhone X. Microsoft's futuristic headset strategy? Pilots over zombie hunters. Microsoft believes its HoloLens headset initially will catch on with corporate trainers, designers, and repair technicians in its bid for budding market for augmented and virtual reality. And more from the Tesla factory. It's revealed plans to make cars and SUVs in China in about 3 years as part of a bet to make the pricey electric vehicles more appealing to local buyers. CEO Elon Musk laid out the timeline this week, saying he doesn't expect significant investment in a China factory until 2019. For more on these and other stories, head to WSJ.com/tech. This has been The Wall Street Journal's Tech News Briefing. I'm Tanya Bustos, reporting from the newsroom in New York. Thanks for listening.
Make Tech News Briefing part of your flash briefing on the Amazon Echo. The Wall Street Journal. Listen ambitiously.